Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, glorify the Son here in our hearts. Make that new covenant in His broken body be so heart and life transforming that we know the gospel of Jesus Christ truly redeems and makes a man new, makes a woman new, makes a boy new, makes a girl new. Whoever hears and believes truly is made new. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just picture in your mind a land ruled by factions, divided up in many different groups, warlords and druids overseeing those groups. Brutality was common, along with pagan worship, as vile as can be and as widespread as can be. One day, a group of them, left those misty shores and sailed across the waters to Britain to raid and plunder. A boy, about 16 years old, was captured and sold into slavery, a terrible ordeal for this young man, but God was at work. Sold to be a slave of a chieftain, and sent to tend the sheep up high in the lonely mountains. The time passed, and soon 6 years of slavery with the sheep on the slopes of that lonely mountain is what his lonely heart came to know. But those moments, like David of old, were times of prayer, of deep prayer. Those trials and the hardships brought even more prayer. The boy, growing to a man on the mountain, prayed 100 times during the day and just as often during the night. The trials, the sufferings were exactly what he needed to draw him deep into the faith of his family and come to know Jesus as Christ. As he drew closer to Christ, this lad came to identify with Christ and his suffering, and then the Holy Spirit drew close. A faith was now drawn strongly into him, a faith he wanted no part of when he was a child, that faith that he rejected and wanted no part of. He was practically an atheist, nothing to do with it as a child, was the very thing that sustained him in his severe trials, keeping those sheep on the mountain. One night, he heard a voice, like a dream, like a vision in his sleep. And here's the description of that vision in his own words. I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, "It is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country." Again, a short while, I heard a voice saying to me, "See, your ship is ready." The next day, Patrick got up and started walking away. Covering 200 miles to reach the sea, he found the ship that was there to take him home, as the vision had said. 3 days later, he was back on his homeland soil, his own homeland shore. But then another challenging trek of 4 weeks was before him. And Patrick described this as a wilderness. And in this wilderness, with his companions, he prayed for food. And the Lord answered with a herd of wild boars. The group that was with Patrick looked up to him as he constantly urged them to trust in God. Patrick made it safely home, just as the vision said he would. And Patrick's faith kept growing, and he entered the monastery to become a priest. And years later, another vision would call him back to his place of captivity, call him back to Ireland. How to bring Christ to a land of warring lords and pagan druid priests. Factions that are so used to brutality, violence, and death. Who saw human life as cheap. How to convince there is one God and that one God really does love them. Through the dangers, Patrick trusted Christ. And 29 years of ministry in Ireland changed the hearts of the Irish people and the land of Ireland. St. Patrick showed the power of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. The power of that new covenant when it is written on the heart. Ireland was transformed from a brutal, warring place of vile worship practices by the redeeming power of Jesus Christ into a Christian people. A Christian people that helped bring Christ through the dark ages into Europe and other places. The power of the covenant written on the heart. Jeremiah 31 declares a time is coming when a new covenant would be made, a covenant that would be written on the hearts. And we know from these passages, Jeremiah speaks of the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8 brings this point even more full, that Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant, and quotes these verses. That's right, Hebrews chapter 8 quotes these verses from Jeremiah 31 to emphasize that this new covenant in Jesus Christ would be placed in the heart. And this new covenant would be brought about in Jesus, the mediator. As it says in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, as he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The new covenant Jeremiah 31 speaks of is this new covenant in Jesus' blood poured out for you. Poured out for your forgiveness. Poured out for your sin. This new covenant was not written on stone to be seen and obeyed. Rather, this new covenant is written deeply into your very existence, such that you are changed, transformed from the inside out. In all the public debates going on these days about school violence, the only answer that will truly address the true root of the violence is to change the hearts of the children. The way St. Patrick changed the hearts of warlords and druids in Ireland. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you expect to happen when God is kicked out of the public square? What do you expect to happen when those who pray are shamed and fired for praying? What do you expect to happen when the Ten Commandments is taken down from the school hallways? Do you expect to find calm and peace? It's mercy and grace and the love of God written into the heart of a child. When that happens once again, you will see a change in the public square. The new covenant that brings an inner transformation written on the heart. John chapter 12 tells us Greeks wanted to come and see Jesus. So they go to Philip, and Philip makes that happen. The word translated as Greek, it really has a wider meaning. The wider meaning is the sense of all nations that are not Jewish. You're either a Jew or you're a foreigner. And they call those foreigners Greeks, Hellenists, actually. But you're that. You're Jewish or you're that. Well, that wanted to come see Jesus. These Greeks wanted to come see Jesus. The Greeks are now seeking Jesus. From the Jewish perspective, you're either Jew, you're a Greek. Either you worship the one true God or you worshiped foreign gods. And now with these foreigners who worship foreign gods are seeking Jesus. Jesus says, now is the time. Now is the hour. Has come for the Son to be glorified. The Greeks are seeking Jesus. Now is the time for the Son to draw all men to Him. To draw all people, the Jewish people and everyone else, be drawn to Him. The time has now come. And how does Jesus describe it? John chapter 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The time has now come for Jesus to die. Really let that sink in. The time has come. This Passover, this time, Passover in Jerusalem, remembering how death passed over Egypt and God delivered from bondage in Egypt with the lamb's blood on the door and lintels. This Passover will see the final and ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, will be sacrificed. And not only will death pass over, death will be defeated. Jesus had been in Jerusalem for other Passovers before. He had been there with his disciples before. Remember the one time he snuck into Jerusalem during the Passover feast? But this time, after riding in triumphantly, this time, the time has now come. And Jesus said this, he knew this, and he cries out, John chapter 12, verse 27, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus knew what was to come. The brutality, the pain, the suffering, the cross. The deepest part of his being, Jesus was troubled. Shall he ask and be saved from the suffering that has come? No, he came to suffer. Jesus came to die, to pay the price that no one could pay. The redemption price would be paid by the Son of the living God. The only possible payment would be the blood of the sinless Son of God. That unblemished Lamb of God would pay the price for my sin. Pay the price for your sin. Pay the price of all sin. And death will be defeated. The anguish of soul. This is how I see it as I read the scriptures. The anguish of soul. After he knows he's going to die on the cross, that anguish of soul just cries out, Father, glorify your name. Like an explosive outburst born of great agony that was about to come. And what was about to come would bring glory to the Father. And what would bring glory to the Father is that perfect, humbling obedience of the Son to even death on the cross. As it's written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In response to that great outcry of Jesus, heaven thundered in response to his cry. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And Jesus speaks about judgment has now come on this world, and the prince of this world will be driven out as Jesus is lifted up. And as he's lifted up, Jesus will draw all people to himself. Jesus knew he would be crucified, and by his death, Jesus would draw all people to himself through the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant, which is the forgiveness of sin. Like that kernel of wheat placed in the ground, his death and burial would bring a harvest to everlasting life. Now I invite your attention to verses, John chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. These verses contain our response. John 12, 25 and 26. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. These verses are tied to that verse 24, the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, meaning that just as Jesus died to his own will and sought only to do the Father's will, we too must do the same. We die to our own will to serve only the Father's will. And it's only in dying to the self will there be that bounty produced. Have you really died to yourself? It's a question I ask. It's a question I ask of you. Have you surrendered yourself to the living God? Do you seek the Father's will in what you do each day? I'd like to say yes, but I fail at that. But that's what we're called to do each day, to seek the Father's will. Has the reality of Jesus Christ, Son of God, so captured who you are, you now live differently. You live to grow the kingdom of heaven. And you grow that kingdom of heaven through your prayers. And you grow the kingdom of heaven through giving of your time. And you grow the kingdom of heaven by giving your tithes. Do the things of the living Lord come first on your calendar? Do you lift up your daily planner and say, Father, your will be done, and then put the things of God first into your daily planner? Or is Jesus more like a seasoning that's in the spice drawer that intermittently comes out for that special occasion that you just need to add a bit of flavor to? As God moved in the past, the living God will move here in our present. And the great wonders God has done in the past, God will do here in the present. The living God will move and turn the hearts of people back to him. And this happens through you and me, the disciples of Jesus Christ, being the disciples of Jesus Christ to the fullest extent, trusting the Father to provide and the Father to do wonders as we go and share this good news of forgiveness of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. As you have been forgiven, show another soul forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Make real in another person's life the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you may say, I don't know how. Well, you don't need to know how. Trust the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit power will show up and show you how. Simply walk by faith, full of compassion for a hurting soul. You see someone hurting, have compassion on them and share Jesus. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Trust the power of the living God to work through you. The work is the Lord's work. And yet the Lord has chosen to work through us. These broken pots and cracked pots and whatever you want to put in there you call yourself. He's chosen to work through you and me. He's called us to share our faith in Christ. Do the work. The power will be there. Jesus said in verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. And you're following Jesus not from the great long distance. Oh, I barely keep him in sight. I'm close enough. No, the word follow means to actually come alongside, help, do the same thing. Ultimately, you become just like the one you are following. Serve and follow with all your life, like Patrick did. Listen to St. Patrick again. This is how his confessions begin. My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person and the least of all believers. I am looked down upon by many. My father was Calponius. He was a deacon. His father was Pontitus, a priest, who lived in Banavan, Hiberni. His home was near there, and that is where I was taken prisoner. I was about 16 at the time. And that's how St. Patrick begins his confessions, his history. Something similar we all can write about ourselves. I am Jeff. I am a sinner, a simple person and the least of all believers. I am looked down. And you cannot go on and on. And that's the very person God intends to use to do something wondrous. Following the Lord God and trusting the power of the living God, Patrick was that kernel of wheat that died to himself, and the power of God through Patrick transformed Ireland. Consider what the power of God working through you might do. Who its life, whose life you may transform. The power is there to change our culture, to change our neighborhood. The power is there as a child of God. That's what you are, a redeemed child of God with the new covenant written in your heart. Be a kernel of wheat that dies for Christ, so that you can walk and live for Christ. So we close with these words from St. Patrick. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me. Christ in you. Amen. And amen.